could add to it if you like. This, the weirdest one, because I don't even know what this is. A mackerel-colored sky foretells rain.
Mackerel?
What is
mackerel colored?
I don't know.
How are we supposed to
I don't know what a mackerel...
It's a fish.
I know what a mackerel is, but I don't know how to... I was like, oh,
silver?
Is this salmon? No, it's mackerel. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmere. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
All right, so why don't you kick off? It's your idea.
Jaquetta, everybody talks about the weather, but nobody does anything about it.
Exactly. And what's the deal with weather anyway?
So we got that off our chest.
Yes.
Today we are talking about the weather.
Yeah, the weather. And I would like to start off. This was a segment that Katie came up with called Movies in a Minute.
Yes.
Wherein we try to retell a film in 1 minute.
1 minute. And I should time you.
Yeah.
Like you time me.
You should time me. I don't know. I mean, you could do it with my watch.
No, I could do it with my phone.
Usually Katie does it, and I time her mercilessly.
And it makes me flustered.
Yes.
Because she actually times me.
I prepared for this by reading a synopsis that was so long, I just decided to wing it. So this is a film, and I hesitate to use that word, that the guest that was on previously, Rebecca, I went to see, Geostorm.
Right.
I haven't started yet. It's Geostorm. It's a 2017 American science fiction disaster movie. It is the directorial debut of Dean Devlin.
Okay.
And he did such a bad job that they had to bring in subsequent directors finish up the job.
At what point did they stop it and say you can't do it?
Well, they started it in 2014. They started shooting, and it was so bad for the test screenings that they had to reshoot it. And the reshoots took place in December 2016. So 2 years later, the movie still stunk, and they were still trying to massage it into something else.
They said, well, all right, this is as good as it gets.
Yeah, they had to bring in Jerry Bruckheimer.
You're kidding.
Like, to finish this up. And another writer. They had brought in another production company.
Really?
Like, this thing was just stinking behind heaven.
Bruckheimer got his hands on
it? He was like, everybody step aside. Everybody step aside. Bruckheimer is here, and it's still terrible.
Well, but Don Simpson and Jerry Bruckheimer did all the movies in the 80s.
Yeah.
Like Top Gun.
Yeah.
Flashdance.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah. So if you pulled it a Bruckheimer.
Yeah. He had to. He was probably like on the beach in Boca Raton. He's like, huh? What do you want? Disaster movie? I'll fix it.
I thought I was out, but they pulled me back in.
Yes. He's the cleanup guy.
Yeah.
So, are we ready for...
So, this is Geostorm Movies in a Minute. You have 1 minute, Jaquetta, beginning to end.
Okay.
Geostorm. And go.
So, a scientist has come up with a web that goes around the entire world. It's called Dutch Boy, and it's supposed to stop all the cataclysmic events that are happening caused by weather. Someone seizes it. This person's Ed Harris. Sorry, spoiler. And is using it to destroy things all over the world just on the eve of when the president is about to turn it over to the UN so the entire world can control it and just not the United States. So the main characters have to figure out who the bad guy is, stop them, and then also stop the geostorm from happening.
27 seconds.
It was terrible.
That was it.
Yes.
That was just log line. You read that off.
No, I didn't. I practiced on this one. Okay. That's essentially what happened.
But you did it in 27 seconds.
Sorry.
So it has
it's
to be a
movies
minute.
In under a minute.
No, it's
I didn't. I thought it was movies
minute.
In 1 minute. All right, I failed.
You have.
Everybody, I hang my head in shame.
Yeah, yeah. We're still, this is it. We're 51 seconds.
There's still 51 seconds.
No, you have 6 seconds.
There was a bad child actor in it. I didn't know that existed.
Yeah, they do.
I saw my first bad child performance in Geostorm. It was terrible. The entire movie is terrible.
You've never seen a bad child.
And there was no Geostorm. I repeat that.
How about the kid on Modern Family, the little girl?
I don't watch Modern Family. She's a bad actress.
She's like, talks like this.
Maybe she's phoning it in.
Yeah.
She's texting it in. She doesn't want to be there. So this was a terrible movie. I love disaster movies, and I love movies that have storms in them. I don't care if there's a tornado followed by a volcano, followed by an earthquake, followed by a tsunami. I am there for all of that.
Right.
The special effects of this were good, but they weren't good enough to cover up what Gerard Butler did. And I can't say...
I like a Gerard Butler from time to time.
If you saw this, you would change your tune.
Really?
It was really bad.
He's off my list now?
How old is he?
He's got to be in his late 40s.
Okay. So he's playing a character that looks older than he is. Okay. He looks like he's maybe in his 50s. His brother looks like he is 20 years old.
Okay.
And he keeps talking about how when we were kids, when you were kids, your brother didn't exist.
Yeah, he was.
He wasn't even a gleam.
Your brother was the oopsie baby.
Yes. You were never kids at the same time. So he plays this, like I said, this scientist who creates...
You were in college.
Yes, you were
in a frat house.
Yeah, you were nowhere. You guys were not fishing together.
Yeah.
They create this web around the entire Earth that controls all of the planet's weather.
Mm-hmm.
But, as my friend Rebecca pulled out, but everyone's still driving a Ford Focus.
Yeah.
So, like, we have this amazing technology. We have so many space shuttles that they're taking off like Boeing 747s.
Well, we know this. Like, back to technology. They're only going to go for the technology that makes the most money.
Ford Focus? We're still, like, they show one self-driving car at the end.
Oh,
at
right.
the very end. You know? This is absolutely terrible.
Well, Geostorm, so stay away.
Yeah, stay away. I did learn one thing from Geostorm. Apparently, if you are in a bikini and flip-flops, you can outrun parts
really?
Of the Geostorm. Yes.
Okay.
You will survive.
That's why flip-flops are so popular
yes.
these days.
If you have your hobby on, you can just book it, and yeah. the Geostorm won't get to you.
Good.
So what do you have for
phew.
Weather? I know,
phew. Okay, so I have some scary facts about climate change.
Okay.
You know, climate change is all the rage.
Yeah, it's happening. Well, some people say it's not.
Some people say it's not.
Doesn't matter what you say.
Yeah, because it's going on around us.
Yes, because it's happening.
Okay. So here's a scary fact. If everyone in the world lived the way people do in the U.S., then it would take 5 Earths to provide enough resources for everyone.
Oh, no. We got to go.
Yeah.
We got to scale back.
Yeah, because of fossil fuel burning, cement production, gas flaring.
Cement production?
Yeah. Apparently.
I didn't think about that one.
Yeah. It produces tons of 34 billion metric tons of carbon dioxide. Yeah.
From cement?
Well, from all
oh, okay.
kind of stuff. Yeah.
Not like cement. Everyone stop.
No.
Stop building.
Yeah. So
from what I remember too about cement, it's awful because I think you cannot reuse it or it's not that you can't reuse it, but it's cheaper just to make more of it
yeah,
than to try to reuse it in any kind of way or recycle it in any way.
Well, they were trying to. Remember, it was podcasts ago, we reported on a type of cement they were trying to make that was alive.
Yeah.
That would repair itself
yeah.
with the cracks, but we got scared.
Yeah.
We didn't like that.
Instead, we'd rather destroy the planet.
Yeah, right. Or get a bunch of Earths.
Yes.
We should get, like, Earth seeds.
How many more do we need? Just 4?
Just 4 more.
Surely we can make that happen.
Yes.
With the administration we have now.
2014 was the world's hottest year on record.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
2014. That was the year that my husband and I went to the Arctic
yeah.
and almost fell through the ice because it was so warm.
Right. Exactly.
And I remember being in the Arctic and not wearing a coat and thinking this probably isn't right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
it's all, the third one is the average global sea level is expected to rise 7 to 23 inches before the end of the century.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's bad.
I remember years ago they were saying it was going to be like, a few centimeters? Then it was like an inch? Now it's 7 inches?
You have to understand that what that really means.
That's dramatic.
It's not just like I'm looking at a cliff and it just rose.
Yeah, it's volume.
Yeah.
Wow. That's shocking.
Yes, it is. And then another fact, more than 1 million species face potential extinction as a result of disappearing habitats, changing ecosystems, and acidifying oceans.
Jeez, too bad assholes aren't on that list.
I know, right?
That would be great. Where's their habitat?
Yes, the biggest assholes. Who are the biggest assholes that should go?
They should go. Where? Unfortunately, I don't think they congregate together. There's no, like, assholeville.
Yeah, right. It's, yeah,
rude to assholes.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, they're sprinkled throughout.
Okay. Let's see. Yeah, the Arctic region may have its first completely ice-free summer by 2040.
I am horrified by this. You know how much I love the Arctic. And
yeah.
the best part of it is the ice. It's just not the same without it. It's just not the same. Okay. That makes me sad. What was the date of that?
2040.
Oh, I better hurry up.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Listen to this one. 99.84% of the land in the state of California is suffering from drought.
99.8% of the land?
Yeah.
Is suffering from drought?
Yeah.
That's shocking.
Yeah. Yeah. You go there, go to California, try to visit California, then you take a long shower and they're like,
what are you doing?
What are you doing in there?
Oh my goodness. I had no idea. It kind of makes sense. The first time I was in Los Angeles, I was walking someone's dog, the person I was staying with. Yeah. I was like, oh, she had casting or something to do. So I was like, oh, I'll walk your dog. So I'm walking the dog along. I take a little baggie because I'm, responsible. I'm going to pick up after the dog. Sure. It was tiny. So then I take the dog over to, like, a piece of grass. And I notice the dog is not interested. So I'm like, what's the problem? So I look over there. I see the dog pawing at it. I pulled it up. It was a fake lawn.
Yeah.
And I was like, but maybe that's a better way to go. If you want green, but you're in an area that's prone to drought, that's what you get.
You put down some turf.
Yeah, you put down a piece of turf. The dog wasn't into it.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being a dog and be like, are you kidding me with this? Really?
This is like, they must have been really confused.
Yeah.
Like, this is carpeting.
Yes.
I'm not supposed to go.
It's like, I have so little in this world. Yeah. All right.
From 1979 to 2003, excessive heat exposure contributed to more than 8,000 premature deaths.
Wow.
And this figure exceeds the number of mortalities resulting from hurricanes, lightning, tornadoes, floods, and earthquakes combined. It's just the heat, everybody.
Wow. My mom calls the summertime now, because we, it's in Maryland, so it's quite hot and humid. They call it funeral season.
Oh, no.
They don't even wear black anymore. They're like, it's too hot. We don't have that many black outfits.
Wow.
So you wear black, I guess, dark clothes at the beginning of the season, but then it's like, I'm wearing a sundress, girl. She wasn't all that anyway.
Yeah. To the funeral?
Yes.
You don't care. Because they're like, I'm not going where she's
And make
going.
It quick, because it's hot as hell in that church.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Wow.
Terrible. It's morbid old people humor, though, right?
Yeah.
Funeral season.
Because they're getting closer to the end.
Yeah. Might as well make jokes about it. So I have some stuff here about animals that can help you predict the weather.
Oh, right.
Now, some of these I remember thinking were real or hearing about them when I was a kid. I grew across from a cow farm, and we were told that when the cows sit down, it's going to be raining soon.
That's what I read too.
Well, it says here, cows, have you ever seen a cow start to get antsy and restless? No, I haven't seen that. Some farmers believe that the cows are predicting an oncoming storm. They may even lay down in the grass to save a spot before it gets wet from the rain. That's what we were told.
Okay.
Like, they don't want to sit on wet grass. Spot. They're like, I'm a prop it here. And then just keep this area dry.
Mm-hmm.
Screw everybody else. I don't know. And then I was like, well, what about if doesn't the water not get under a cow?
I know.
Like,
I know. I don't think the cows thought it out.
This is a cow logic. Be like, are you kidding me? I'm still getting wet.
Yeah.
From underneath.
Right.
I'm being assaulted. Here's one about sheep. I also grew up near a sheep farm. Is that there's an old rhyme that goes, when the sheep gather in a huddle, tomorrow we'll have a puddle.
Oh, that's a really bad rhyme. That's like...
It says it may not be entirely true, but it's thought that when the sheep start to gather close together, they are shielding each other from potential oncoming storms.
Okay.
Just the ones in the middle. The guys on the outside are screwed.
It's like you pay your dues.
Yeah.
We've been here.
Yeah.
It's my time.
You're just a sheep minding his or her own business, and you're like, fuck, they already huddled? Come on, guys.
My time to
be
the center of the huddle.
And then just one side of you is dry.
Yeah.
The side of them toward the inside of the huddle. It says ants.
And then that side shrinks.
Yes. This is... In the watch.
Yeah. The wolf.
I'd like to see that. Just one side of a sheep is like, dude, I'm always on the outside. What do you want? I don't pay attention. Ants. It says if you ever notice that tiny anthills on the sidewalk and driveways are getting bigger, it means the storm is or some rain is coming. Some believe that the ants are trying to make their mounds more sturdy and even cover the entire entrance to their underground tunnels. Mm-hmm. I remember observing this as a kid. Mm-hmm. I think it was really cool.
Yeah.
They were like hustling up.
They're like, I need to get...
I got to do something. And I was always concerned about them, too.
Yeah. Oh, that's weird.
Are they going to drown? Like, what's going to happen? But then after the rain's over, they always manage to survive anyway.
Yeah, it's like, you come to that conclusion as well. You're like,
there wouldn't be any then.
Yeah. They were here yesterday, and there was rain before.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
This is an interesting one. Elephants have greater hearing than humans and can hear sounds much at a lower decibel than we can. So if an earthquake happens, they think that they can hear it long before it actually gets to them. So they can hear the distant rumbling. And then they book it.
They're like, I'm out of here.
I don't know where they're going. But just away.
Yeah.
I guess away from it. And there's another one, too. Birds. It said if birds fly high in the sky, it means the weather will be good because the sky is clear. I mean, that just kind of makes sense. Like, I feel like birds are intuitive. They'll be like, it's good flying today. Let's go.
Yeah.
If they fly low,
there.
It's because there's bad pressure coming. They said seagulls, for example, will return to land if they sense the pressure drop.
Okay.
Just to protect themselves.
Sure.
I think we could probably figure that out as well if we were flying, but whatever. All right, so those are animals.
Oh, yeah, I have a couple more animals. And they say Although some croaking is normal in a frog-friendly environment.
Although some light croaking expected. That's normal.
Grab your umbrella if you hear them calling out with exceptional fervor.
How am I supposed to know?
Maybe it's
just a cry for help.
when frogs mate, they lay eggs in bodies of fresh water. So frogs are more likely to be successful at reproduction following a good rain because there's more watery real estate to choose from.
Real estate.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the mate summoning croaks that tend to occur right before a shower.
Girl, get over here.
Yeah, it's supposed to be setting the mood.
Huh.
So, yeah, it's like Barry, Barry White.
Yeah, they put that on before the storm.
Right.
I like it. So, since we're talking about weather, we want to get, you know, because we're highbrow, I want to get literary with this. And I was thinking about the phrase, it was a dark and stormy night.
A dark and stormy night, yes. And the wind was blowing, howled. The gale.
Yeah, so where does this come from? So, when we were kids, we used to use it as a prompt. Mm-hmm. Right? So, the teacher would say for Halloween, that it was a dark and stormy night, and then you would continue the story on. And also, I know it from Snoopy, because Snoopy was an aspiring author in the comic strip, Peanuts, and he would always start off with, it's a dark and stormy night.
Right.
And I never got the joke of it is that is one of the worst phrases ever. It comes from a style of, it says, florid, melodramatic style of fiction writing called purple prose.
Yes.
It's purple prose. So the origin is the first dark and stormy night was conjured up by an English Victorian novelist, playwright, and politician.
Oh, God.
Who went by Sir Edward George Earl Bulwer Lytton.
See,
first Baron Lytton.
Not dedicated enough time to any one of those things to do well.
It became synonymous with the melodramatic style, and he has a lot of work that, you know, in this style. It went out of fashion, and it's considered kitsch. So the complete phrase is, it's from his novel written in 1830. The title is called Paul Clifford. I can't wait. Paul Clifford?
Okay.
Really? Did anyone even bother? Like, that's not a juicy title at all.
No.
It was a dark and stormy night. The rain fell in torrents, except at occasional intervals when it was checked by a violent gust of wind which swept up the streets, parentheses, for it is in London that our scene lies, parentheses closed, rattling against the housetops and fiercely agitating the scanty flame of the lamps that struggled against the darkness. That is awful.
That is terrible.
But it's two things. It was a dark and stormy night, so we use that a lot. But also, it is in London that our scene lies. That's when you know it's going to be, you know, when you know it's going to be really good. Very well written. So yeah, this uses a comic device. And in 1982, the English department of San Jose State University, California, sponsored a bad fiction contest.
Yes.
And you must begin with to compose the opening sentence of the worst of all possible novels with, it was a dark and stormy night. So it was in this climate, in this literary climate, that as a child, we were, you know, I was inspired to use this phrase.
Oh, that's a dark and stormy night. Because, that's something I thought my mother would say, and she would start off whenever it would rain. It was a dark and stormy night, and the wind was blowing a gale. And the captain said to Antonio, Antonio, tell us a tale. And this is the tale he told. It was a dark and stormy night. And then she'd repeat.
That's hilarious.
And she'd keep going, and she'd just keep looping.
I love that.
And we'd be like, stop it.
When did she? Yeah, no, until you all go away.
Yeah.
I'll clear them out of here.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Yeah, there was a dark and stormy night. The wind howled, and the shutters clanged. Was what I grew up with. And then it went from there.
That's fascinating. That's a great little gem.
So that is Sir Edward George Earl Bulwer Lytton, first Baron Lytton novel, Paul Clifford from 1830. I actually want to try to find that. I'm sure it's for free online.
I bet.
I can't imagine anyone going into the bookstore and asking for it. Do you have Paul Clifford?
Paul Clifford.
What did he write?
Yes. Let me tell you.
Yes. It was a dark and stormy night. All right, what do you have?
I got the four R's.
#NYC.
I have 7 weird things you didn't know what winter weather does to your body.
Okay. I look aghast.
Yes, so... Okay, the decreased amount of daylight directly correlates with decreased production of serotonin.
Yep.
Your happy hormone.
Yep.
And
I'm already unhappy. Did daylight savings change, what, like 3 days ago?
Yeah.
It was rough.
It was, wasn't it? It was a tough one.
It was tough. I was in Portland, Maine, and it is like 20 minutes earlier. The sun sets up there. It was like 4 o'clock.
I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah.
We don't need this anymore.
We don't need it anymore. I was talking to some people, and they said that, you know, a change is afoot.
Oh, is it really?
To stop this?
Better because
we
it was
don't
only,
need it.
It was supposedly for farmers, so they could use the daylight. But the farmers thought it was dumb too because all their animals didn't set their clocks.
Yeah,
ahead
but also now, and we've had this for decades. Where I'm from, all the farmers' equipment has lights on it. Hello.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to say.
Anyway,
also, we're wasting electricity. That's the other reason.
Yeah.
It's dark too early.
Yeah.
And everyone has to use more light. So I think we should put it back in the other
just
direction.
One.
Yeah.
One time.
One time for your mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways, but it dates back to our ancestors who hibernated through the winter. Their libido as well as their metabolism would slow to a crawl if they
sleep
off of winter.
Yeah, you know what they were doing in those caves.
Yeah.
It was a pork fest. Like, come on.
Yeah, it would also be the time that fall babies are conceived. Fall babies. Food rations would be lower in the autumn. Your body is more sensitive to sexual stimuli when your skin is warmer in the warmer weather. So, you know, supposedly your sex drive goes down in the winter.
I mean,
I don't think so.
That's what they say.
Yeah. Let's see. The cold makes your bones hurt.
Okay.
Yes. So the barometric pressure change decreases the levels of joint fluid thickness between your bones.
Huh.
Yeah. So if you're feeling creaky, it's because of the winter weather.
Or you're old.
Right.
Creaky is not something I would ever have said about my bones 20 years ago.
Right. But if you have arthritis or some kind of issue before a storm, you'll be like, ugh, you know, my
is there anything you can do?
No.
Just have to deal with it. Yeah. Eat it.
I mean. Right. Yeah, it's like, so, you know, people with different knee problems and hip problems are like, before a storm. It's that pressure that's doing something to them.
What if you have like a peg leg?
Well, the peg part, you don't feel anything.
I know, but it's like the ghost limb.
Yeah. Oh.
You have like ghost arthritis. And my arthritic ghost limb is
probably
acting up.
Arthritis in my ghost limb.
Yeah.
Speaking to me.
Yeah.
It's telling me it's
telling
gonna rain.
Something. It's going to rain.
You don't have a leg.
I feel like that's what Antonio, the captain, said.
Yeah.
It was the darkest time of my life. And the fluids in my ghost limbs.
We're speaking to
Yeah.
Them, screaming out.
They were creaky. Like the boards in a floor. Okay.
In an old floor.
Yes.
That was warped. Okay.
Like my soul.
The cold. It makes it easier to get sick.
Why is that?
The fact that...
Is that true?
The cold virus thrives in cold weather.
Okay.
And your body, you decrease your core temperature in the winter as well. So you got that. So your body's working overtime, trying to stay warm.
Mm-hmm.
The viruses thrive.
Anyone who's spent even 2 minutes with me knows that I don't have a core temperature. It's zero.
Right?
And so that's why when I go to places that are extremely cold, I'm like, yeah, whatever, man. This is me every day.
Yeah.
Like in extremely cold environments, I'm fine because I'm always cold. I'm like, bring it. Next.
Right. And the chilly air irritates your nasal lining, leading to an increased production of mucus, whether you're sick or not.
And then the cold, the germs get stuck in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like sometimes. Maybe. Well, what do you want from me?
Well, the changes in temperature, it lowers your immune system. So you're just fucked. That's all.
You're fucked. That's your diagnosis. Yeah. You're screwed. You know, just go home.
Right. It makes your allergies and asthma even worse.
Yes.
The cold air. Right on your... Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I feel something coming on right now in this next paragraph.
Of walking outside during cold weather can make you feel like you have ice crystals on the inside of your ribcage.
Huh?
Inhaling cold air and exhaling hot air chills your airway and leads to wheezing or difficult breathing.
Wow. Today was like... I feel like it was a snap cold day. Yesterday I came home, I was wearing a regular sweater and, you know, a light jacket. Today, freezing.
Yeah.
Freezing.
I'm so scared of this cold temperature today. because Jaquetta, I'm getting work done on my apartment. It's being renovated, and there are holes in the walls where they're putting in new things. And I am so afraid that when I come home,
it's going to be freezing.
There's going to be a mouse.
That's because right, the mice.
They want to go where it's warm, and so if they find them.
Yeah, Katie has had mice issues in the past.
Well. Yes.
And they've been solved, but
every few years
they come around. Maybe they go from from block to block. It's like we haven't been here for a while. Let's check it out.
I'm terrified to go home tonight. So this morning before I left, I doused the place in peppermint oil.
Oh, I was gonna say, okay, cool.
So hopefully they smell it and go the other way.
What about putting some cheese somewhere else? like a sign, like cheese this way.
Yes, I'll put a little sign. Say, no cheese here.
Yeah.
Cheese downstairs.
Move along. Nothing to see here. Definitely not any cheese. Definitely not any brie.
Yeah.
Definitely not cheddar. Totally not cheddar. Just peppermint.
I'm so scared.
Ugh.
I'll be mice. Okay.
We haven't had mice in my apartment for a long time.
It's like it could go for years without them. And then suddenly, you know what happens? There's some kind of erosion in the cement. You get a little hole.
Or somebody, one of the adjacent buildings does something, or someone's digging up something behind you. The last mouse that was in our apartment, I killed with a samurai sword.
Nice.
They haven't been back since. Maybe word got out.
He kind of poised it next to the asshole.
Because my husband teaches samurai sword classes. We have samurai swords. They're not extremely sharp, but they did the job.
Hey, nice.
I chased it around the apartment. I backed it into a corner and I stabbed it.
Way to go.
In cold blood.
Not easy. They're fast.
I know. I should have just wounded him and tell your friends.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey.
Did you get a mouse?
No. I was walking along the pier in town, and I saw a small dog running towards me. I was like, look how cute. Oh, look at this little dog coming. It got off its leash. Or maybe the owner's letting it run a little bit. Coming straight to me. I was just like, hey there, buddy. And I look at it. It gets closer. It's a giant rat.
Are you kidding me, New Jersey?
I was like, what?
And why was it running at you?
It was running at me, and I was just, I didn't know what to do. And it
quickly, I would have kicked the shit out of it.
It turned. It made a sharp right. And it went into a bush.
Really?
And I was like, that's a wharf rat.
Are you? Yes.
A wharf rat has no fear.
Yeah, they don't care.
They don't care.
That was going over there anyway. Yeah. It was like, what's with this broad?
Yeah. Yeah, she's just lucky she was a foot away.
Yeah.
I would have
jumped right on her and kept on going.
Yeah.
That is crazy. I know. I've never seen a wharf rat, but I grew up in a farming community. And the barn rats, it's the same thing. They will scream at you.
Yeah.
They will come right at you. They're like, why are you in the barn?
Yeah.
What business do you have here?
I was told not to corner one.
Yes.
They'll come at you.
Never corner one. A cousin of mine told me she cornered one and it came at her.
Yeah.
Because she didn't realize it had a nest.
Oh.
And so it had to protect whatever it was going. It screamed, she screamed, and then she ran.
Yeah.
So I have some. I was Googling stuff for this episode, and I love a wolf. And this is about extreme weather, so I just put in the words wolf storm to see what would come up. And this came up. I just want to read it to you. It's nice. This is a book by an author called Dee Garrison. It is a young adult novel, and it's called Wolf Storm.
Wolf Storm.
This is I know, it's so cool. Stefan's big break. He is on location in the mountains far from home for his first movie role, filming a blockbuster sci-fi adventure. I hope it's not Geostorm. The props, the spaceships, and the trained wolves on set should add up to a dream job, but acting turns out to be much tougher than he imagined, and he feels like his inner loser is all that's showing through.
He's
a young teen actor.
All right.
On set. From the way his famously stuck-up co-star Rain treats him, he's pretty sure she thinks so too. Rain with an E. I don't know. And worst of all, no one will believe his claim that there are wild wolves haunting the forest around the set.
Haunting or are they ghost wolves?
It doesn't say ghost wolf storm or wolf ghost storm. I don't know.
All right. Then nobody said anything about ghosts, but why are they saying haunting?
Okay. When a blizzard strikes, isolating the young co-stars and bringing hungry feral wolves into the open, Stefan must take on his biggest role yet, working together with his co-stars to survive with no second takes. They only have one chance to get it right. Lights, camera, action. Ooh. Dee Garrison takes suspense and danger to new heights with a thrilling tale of friendship and survival against all odds. If I were a teen, I would totally read this.
Okay.
It looks really cool. Wolf Storm.
Wolf Storm.
Yeah.
So they're coming. They're haunting the perimeter of the set.
They're hanging around the set. Maybe they want a part. They didn't get a part.
Right.
They see the tame wolves in there, and they're non-union, or whatever the situation is.
And so our protagonist has to channel his inner wolf.
Mm-hmm. Like, resolve the differences between him, his co-star, and the other, the background artists. Who I'm assuming get picked off right away.
Yeah.
Just like in a movie.
Yes.
You know?
Like the red shirts on stage.
Yeah. Before, it was like, you didn't have a line, guess what? Chomp.
Yeah.
I also, because I did the movies in a minute poorly, my favorite film company, The Asylum, came up with a movie that came out at the same time as Geostorm. There's this Geo-Disaster.
Geo-Disaster.
So I looked it up. Yeah. Don't accidentally order it, like, from online or anything like that.
Because if you didn't like Geostorm, you won't like Geo-Disaster.
Well, Geo-Disaster actually looks better, and I paid $17 for Geostorm. Mm-hmm. I will probably see Geo-Disaster for free. Apparently, dark matter is heading towards Earth. And it's creating
what is dark matter?
I don't know.
But it's coming.
It's coming.
Okay.
It's created a storm, and it's brought on a super volcano, a mega earthquake, and a massive twister. And while the world endures an apocalyptic event, the heroes must preserve their own with their own skills and wit to reunite and survive. These guys have taken so many movies and thrown them together, but I guarantee you that Geo-Disaster is better than Geostorm.
Okay.
It looked better.
So one tentative thumbs up for Geo-Disaster.
Yes. Well, we give Geo-Disaster a pinky lift. That's it. That's all I can give you is one pinky up.
A sweep of the pinky.
A sweep of the pinky up.
Yeah, okay.
For Geo-Disaster.
All right.
And Wolf Storm. It sounds like fun.
It does.
I love adventure novels.
I have Tales from the Campfire.
Ooh. So Tales from Dirt Campfire, it's a weather-related tales.
Tales
from Dirt Campfire is a segment we do where we find tales on the internet of the paranormal, ghost stories, fake lore, folklore, scary stuff. And we gather here around a swirling digital campfire to retell them.
Yeah, gather around, listeners.
Yeah.
This one is called Changing the Weather.
Okay. I think I might have seen this one.
Yes. In 2012, I was working on New York Times Square.
Yep. Like construction?
Doing a promotional event.
Okay, in Times Square.
Yeah.
On Times Square.
On Times Square. Working out there and around so many people, you see everything and anything.
Mm-hmm. You sure do.
But one experience stood out and remains the strangest thing I have ever seen.
Was it like a Smurf smoking a five-piece of crack rock? Like, what was it?
My last day of work on the promotion was the day before Hurricane Sandy.
Mm-hmm.
The sky was very overcast and ominous, with the clouds getting thicker and the winds picking up by the hour.
Not bad.
At one point, a large religious group gathered on the steps of Times Square.
A large religious group?
It seemed like thousands strong.
It was not.
It was not, though. I will tell you.
It was not. If 1,000 people gather in New York, the house would break that up in a second.
Right. They began praying and singing hymns. This being New York City and Times Square, they went largely ignored.
No one threw. I would have thrown some dollars and been like, nice work. You guys can get a meal for yourselves.
No, but if you have never been to Times Square, everybody gets out there.
And does their thing.
They get a microphone and preach about religion or about the world ending or sing a song.
No one pays any attention because the tourists are not here for that. And locals are just getting through.
Yeah.
Right?
So nobody cares.
Yeah, no one cares.
At one point in the midst of their prayer, rays of sun cut through the clouds and the temperature climbed at least 20 degrees within a matter of seconds.
Yeah, does that happen right before major, storms?
I don't know. Reviewing weather radar from that day, there was a major hurricane system moving in, and there was no possible way for the sun to shine through even for a brief moment.
No, that's what happens, though. If you've ever been around before, a major storm, it gets weird beforehand, because all kinds of things are happening in the atmosphere.
No. Needless to say, this gives me goosebumps. From my memory, the sun could not have been out for more than 5 minutes. When the prayer group dispersed, the singing stopped. Almost on cue, the sun went away and the temperature returned to a typical...
Why didn't they start singing? I would be 5, 6, 7, 8,
That group should have been standing there singing all through Sandy.
Yes! What the hell?
I have been very skeptical of prayer up to that point in my life. Being a cynical 20-something
who thought he knew better than to waste time believing in such nonsense.
He wasn't that cynical. I would need a hell of a lot more than that.
Yeah.
I need, like, Godzilla in a tutu saying my name. Parting the clouds physically.
In the years since I've taken a prayer, I'm in different religion than this group, and become obsessively interested in the supernatural and real-life effects of religious intervention.
That's interesting. So this person saw what he claims is a group of Christians 1,000 strong, and it converted him to another religion.
That is the supernatural.
Yes, that's the supernatural part.
Part of the whole thing.
That's
right.
So bizarre.
Yeah. Hey, You Know It is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. If you like our style, consider buying a gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Box of wine.
Weird weather things.
Yeah, anything can happen. Yeah. You know, literally anything from frogs falling from the sky to, I saw something on the Weather Channel now has a lot of, I guess they're just tired of reporting weather or they feel like it's repetitive. They have shows. So there was a show on about extreme weather. There was some town that was landlocked and somehow a flood happened there, from groundswell. Like water came up, wiped everything away. So anything can happen. Yeah. It's just that I think we haven't, as humans, we haven't been around long enough and cataloging these things long enough. We think everything is crazy.
Right.
You know?
And especially if something unusual happens and then another thing unusual happens, you correlate them to be they're causal.
Because monkey brains try to put it together.
You say, well, how did this happen? Because this thing happened. But it's not causal. It happened to be a coincidence.
Well, at the same time, the naked cowboy was out there when the clouds parted. Would that have caused something?
Because we all know he was out there.
Yeah, he was 100% out there.
If you don't know who he is a blonde man who's been out there for a good 20 years and his tidy whities.
Yeah.
And a guitar and cowboy boots and a cowboy hat and he sings.
I saw him doing a program, I sound like my grandmother. I saw him doing an interview on a program on the news.
Yes.
On
the newsreel.
And he was a dick.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think he was conservative or something like that. I'm like, really? He was complaining about something. Other people are out there getting, I'm like, dude, you did not invent naked or cowboy.
Oh yeah. He gets really upset if anyone tries to infringe
to be naked or be a cowboy in Times Square.
Yeah.
He's an asshole. All right. So here's some weather superstitions.
Oh, I like.
Yeah. Okay. Some of these I've heard. You can tell me if you've heard some. You could add to it if you like. The weirdest one, because I don't even know what this is, a mackerel-colored sky foretells rain.
Mackerel?
What's
mackerel color?
I don't know.
How are we supposed to
know? I don't know what a mackerel...
It's a fish.
I know what a mackerel is, but I don't know how to... I was like,
silver?
Is this salmon? No, it's mackerel. Do you know what I mean? In terms of the color? Because I know what salmon looks like, color.
It's like came a pink. Up with that?
I have no idea. Look, if you see a mackerel in the sky, book it. It's going to rain. That's all I was saying. When smoke from a chimney falls, this is how you get into like a speakeasy.
Yeah, right.
When smoke from a chimney falls, it's going to storm.
When the smoke from the chimney falls,
it's going to storm.
Whether the rain is going to come down the walls.
Yeah.
Something.
Okay. A halo around the moon brings rain. Have you heard that?
I know that there's, if you see a halo around the moon, it means snow.
Okay. My bad.
Okay. There's a snow ring around the moon.
Cobwebs, and it says quote unquote, I don't know why, it's like, cobwebs.
Yeah.
Cobwebs on the grass are a sign of good weather.
Well, I would imagine if a spider is like, there's no rain coming, I might as well pitch my tent here.
I always thought cobwebs or grass is like, no one's walking here, basically. I mean, that was my experience growing up.
If you were going to go to the trouble of spinning a web, wouldn't you check the weather?
Yes.
So I guess they have a sense.
Yeah. Why waste time, is what you're saying. And here's what, rain...
It's like, why wash the car?
Yeah.
Right before it rains.
When it's going to rain.
Yeah.
Rain falling while the sun shines is a good chance it will rain the next day. Blow out a burning candle. If the wick continues to smolder for a long time,
okay,
bad weather is coming. If it goes out quickly, the weather will be fair.
If it smolders, you got a long wick.
Yeah. You know, watch it,
yeah,
basically.
Put it down.
So here's some concerning dates. The first Tuesday after a new moon tells the weather for that quarter. I don't know why.
For the quarter of
yeah.
the year?
Yeah.
But there's a new moon every month. Look. These people got to get the story
maybe,
straight.
Maybe
stop bringing the moon into their nonsense.
Yes, the moon rules.
Yeah.
The sun shines at some point on every Saturday of the year, except one. They don't say what one it is. None of your business, really, I guess.
It doesn't shine one Saturday?
Yeah, one Saturday. It doesn't shine. What Saturday do you think that would be? I have no idea.
And why?
I don't know. Here's a weird one. We just had a warm October means a cold February, so I guess we're up for that.
Oh, yeah. Here, yeah, our January is supposed to be nasty.
And then my favorite one, a clear Christmas makes a full graveyard.
What?
Yeah. I mean, they went tales from Dirk Campfire on it. Uh-huh. A clear Christmas makes a full graveyard.
I don't know what that means.
When the sky is clear, mm-hmm. so no clouds, mm-hmm. you know, flat weather, you know, nothing going on. That means that there's going to be a full graveyard somewhere at some point. I guess. I don't know. I'm trying to work with what I have here. I have one
a
sentence.
Full graveyard.
A clear Christmas like, makes a full graveyard.
Is that going to happen?
This is all the information I have.
Two of a week.
I don't have anything. All right. That's all I got. Yeah. So this is some weather superstitions. I also, there's some here that I used to hear. If the chickens come out during a rain, it will be a long soaking storm. That one I used to hear all the time.
Really?
A lot of stuff with chickens. Chickens, you can predict, they're like tea leaves where I'm from.
When a chicken, you can tell what's going to happen with the weather by observing
not just with the weather, just anything.
Okay.
Just look at the chickens. Look to the chickens for information. When a guinea or a peacock calls, rain is coming. I grew up there
on the phone. It's the peacock.
That's how a peacock sounds. Voice.
That's my personification
of the peacock. I grew up with peacocks around because there are some rich people, and yeah. they always think it's a good idea to have peacocks.
Oh yeah, they do.
I don't know why.
It's
in Maryland.
They're so beautiful.
But fine,
take their feathers, and then there was a family where I grew up that had peacocks.
Mm-hmm.
And as a kid, they gave me one of the feathers that they found on the ground, and I was like,
"Were you so excited?"
So excited. I broke my Bic pen to pull out the ink, that little plastic.
Well, at least you weren't pretentious.
And I shoved it into the stem of the
quill part.
The quill, and it was my pen with this giant pen.
With like a 6 foot.
Yes.
Were you like, get away? I'm writing.
And I would write, but I didn't even know what to write. And I'm like, I'm writing something.
I'm going
to
write something special.
Yes.
With this.
Nobody bother me.
I'm
smart.
My uncle one time, he's long since passed, but he was coming home one night and one of the rich people's peacocks got out and flew up into his car. He said he had no idea. He freaked out. It was just all of a sudden.
Inside the car?
No, up onto the hood, basically.
Oh. Oh.
And he was just like, ah! Like, can you imagine?
Did it fan out its plume?
It did. Oh. Immediately. It didn't die.
It was flirting with him.
I know, but it was flirting with his GMC truck. Apparently. But every once in a while I would see the people's peacocks and I thought it was really beautiful. And then when I got older, I realized like these should not be in Maryland.
Oh, they should. Where are they indigenous to?
I mean, I think East Asia, I'm guessing.
They don't belong.
Not here. Maryland. Not North America. And then this weird one. After you kill a snake, hanging it in a tree will bring rain. Burying it will bring sunny days, so just keep that, you know.
Well, if you split it, then you have equal weather.
I don't know. Or some shoes.
Right.
I don't know.
Or is freak out people. Like, I got a snake. Oh, that. Imagine if you're just like, la, 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 walking down, you see a snake hanging from the tree.
Ooh. Oh, I would be scared. Yeah. I would think there's something, you know, very bad afoot.
Yeah.
Like, and then also, if a cat scratches the leg of your table, it's going to rain. Or you just have a cat.
Yeah.
That's kind of what they do.
Yeah.
That's kind of what they do. All right, what do you have?
There's a couple of facts about weather systems that I did not know.
Okay.
And maybe you didn't know. Or maybe
I don't know much about meteorology, right. I'm going to be honest.
Hurricanes can't cross the equator.
Why not?
No, like... Isn't that funny? It's like a territorial thing, I think.
No, they turn back and they dissipate.
No hurricane has ever crossed the equator because of the property of physics known as the Coriolis effect.
Would it have to go in the other direction? Is that why?
The force that creates the spin of the hurricane. Mm-hmm. Hurricanes spin counterclockwise.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can't.
They don't have time. It's like if you're, you know, you're going in reverse.
Right.
You don't have time to shift gears forward.
And the delineation between a tropical depression and a tropical storm.
Oh, lay it on me. I'd like to know.
The winds have to blow at 39 miles per hour. Anything above that.
That's it?
Yeah. Isn't that silly?
That's really kind of arbitrary. I thought it was more than that. Boo, yeah. Meteorology.
Yes. Okay, to name a hurricane. To make communication about storms easier, they developed a list of names for tropical storms that are used in alphabetical order. And if the storm becomes a hurricane, the name is retained. Okay.
Okay. So, but they don't use it again.
No,
so
it's like a tropical storm. Okay, it's a hurricane. Keep the same name.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but so once it becomes a hurricane and they use the name, you can only repeat it after 6 years. Unless.
That doesn't seem like enough time.
Unless there is a really bad storm like Katrina, then the name is retired.
Okay.
So Katrina, Sandy will never be used again.
How do they decide what's really bad? Like Irma, was that bad?
Irma, no. I mean, like what the Andrew was bad.
Okay, so we won't
Katrina
hear these again.
Katrina was bad. Sandy was bad. You're not going to hear it again.
Okay.
Okay. let's see. Typhoon John.
What?
Typhoon John. That
is generic for such a like typhoon is such an interesting word.
It formed in 1994, the Pacific hurricane season.
Still going?
It's the longest lasting and second farthest traveling typhoon ever observed. It followed an 8,000 mile path and lasted 31 days.
Wow. When was that?
In 1994.
Oh, I would not have been paying attention at that point in my life.
And it was one of the few numbers of tropical cyclones that ever to be designated as both a hurricane and a typhoon.
So it's like, you know, Hall of Fame.
Everything, yeah.
Storm Hall of Fame. What is a typhoon? Do you know?
No.
I'll cut that part out. I don't know either.
No, I don't know. Let's say the ice storm of 1998 in Canada was the largest national disaster there.
I remember
Ontario.
That.
Yes. Multiple layers of freezing rain caked everything with thick, heavy ice, causing tremendous damage. And it was blamed for 35 deaths and millions of people did not have power for a week.
I've seen ice storms before where I'm from. They're scary because they have the power to destroy the tree. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you don't know when the trees are going to, like, crack.
Right.
Basically. And also power lines, I think, as well, can be impacted by the weight.
Right. Tsunamis. When the waves approach the shore, the ocean floor creates friction and it causes the waves to slow down and build up from behind, creating a more cohesive wall of water.
I'd say that's my like the thing that scares me the most in extreme weather is a tsunami.
Right.
Because you're done.
Yeah, and there's nothing you can
do. There's nothing
you
can
do. You don't even see them coming.
Nope, you have no idea.
In fact, sailors don't notice them on the open ocean. It's like a wave that's like a foot tall. They don't even know.
So they couldn't even alert anybody.
Right.
That's scary.
But they move across the sea at a speed of 500 miles per hour, and that's how fast a plane travels.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So I've seen some footage of tsunamis. Mm-hmm. Luckily, it was not footage of people being hurt. Yeah. I wouldn't be comfortable watching that. But it was like an area had been evacuated, and then they had cameras set up. And it's bizarre because it's literally like you'd be standing around and you see, oh, there's some water, a couple of inches of water. And then it's like a foot of water. And then it's not really a wall. It's kind of like it fills up.
Yeah.
Like it looked like the town like filled up. And then there was so much force. I guess this is the wave part. They're talking about the fire. That it just pushes everything.
Wow.
It's bizarre. It's not like what you see in the movies where it's like a huge wave.
Coming at you.
It's more like a filling up and then a push.
Oh, God.
Of everything. That's what I saw, anyway.
That's what they say that, it's not actually a single wave, but a series of waves.
Yeah.
Known as a wave train. And people describe...
A wave train?
Yes. Get on the wave
train. I know, right? Hop on board!
Many people have described a tsunami as sounding like a freight train.
It was scary to watch.
Yeah.
Because I'd never seen a video where the water... Like, I've seen flooding, but this is, you know, 2-3 stories tall, and it's scary.
Yeah.
You know, because then what?
Right.
you know.
Well, yeah, right.
You just have to wait.
Yeah. With Hurricane Sandy, when Hoboken flooded, I was like looking at it out my window. Like, wow, look at that water coming down the street.
And it's
like it's like six inches.
Yeah.
And suddenly it was just like, it rose to 4 feet.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like a filling up. You didn't see like even like a 3 foot wave coming towards you, like you would see on the beach.
Right.
It's just like you're in a bathtub and it slowly fills up. Yeah, interesting. I did not know that.
Yes.
So we're extreme weather. Yeah. Who knew? Not us, apparently.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.